My name is Loretta McDonough, and this is Sweepy Podcast, The Early Years. So just tell me about yourself, how you started, because I know nothing about you when you started.
And well, I'm Esther Keenan, and I'm a chef by trade. I was in catering for 20 years, and I had a daughter in creche in Lucan, and I became friendly with the owner.
Right.
And one day I went in to pick my daughter up, and there was some crisis with staff, and the woman was in tears. She was left with all the children, whatever happened.
Yeah.
So I stayed with her and helped her out, and she asked me to come and work for her, and I said yeah, and I left my catering and went to work.
No way. And when was that? How long ago was that?
Tara was 3 and she's 24 now, so 21 years ago.
No qualifications.
None. Yeah, you didn't have to have qualifications.
No, you didn't. Yeah.
It was before the regulations. Yeah. And then I started my level 5 and went from there.
And was that a private creche? Was
private
it?
Creche.
And then, so where are you working now? So where are you at now?
Well, then I came to St Finian's. I did my level 5 and she actually sold her creche, so I moved and I came to St Finian's.
And did you know anybody here before you came over?
No, I came here the day we opened. I opened in St Finian's.
So brand new community service.
Yeah, and well, it was a communal hall. Initially, the first room was just the communal hall. And, you know, like when the houses are built, they have a communal hall for the neighbours if they want to have meetings and stuff. And there was nothing happening in it. It was idle. So they built, somebody had a need for a preschool, so they set up a preschool.
And who funded that? Like, was it fee paying?
Do you remember Lucan 2000? No.
Yes, I do. Yeah, it was in the village, an enterprise board or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, they helped us set it up. And then after a year, we got funding from Pubble.
And you just carried on from then. And so was it hard to start up? Was there lots of kids?
Well, we had 12 children when we started. And then we could take 18. So we got up to 18 probably the second year. And then we extended and we have a bigger service now.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really lovely service. And so you were saying that you renovated in 2009.
Yeah.
So did you, are you a board of committee or how does it work?
We're part of a housing cooperative. So we're the childcare and the housing cooperative.
Okay.
And so the board is with the housing. You know, there's a board, but it's with the housing.
And do you have to answer to them?
We'd have to report to them.
Okay, and is it hard?
Line manager.
Because I don't know anything about board.
You just kind of give your line manager an update of what's happening and she feeds back to the board. Basically.
And your budget and things like that, are you set a budget or how does that work?
Yeah, it kind of, like the housing cooperative kind of looks after that part of it. You know, we don't have to, I don't have to do big accounts. I just do day-to-day accounts.
Okay, yeah. And do you do the girls' wages?
No,
they do everything.
Done.
They take care of all that.
Yeah.
So you're the day-to-day, the rosters.
All our HR and all that is in the cooperative.
So that's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
brilliant.
Responsibility is kind of taken away from you.
It's
that there's somebody else taking care of it. And then you got renovations in 2009.
Yeah, we got funding and in 2009 we extended to, we wanted more space basically. But to extend, we had to have more children. So it went from 18 to 28 in one group. So it became a much bigger service. And then obviously more staff, more parents, more children, more stress, more everything.
Yeah, everything. And do you think...
Well, a lovely building.
It is a fabulous building, And it's really lovely outdoor area.
And I was here, so I had a lot of input in what way it was going to be built. I should have been an architect.
Good woman!
I kind of knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know,
but
and
you're
I knew
on
where
the floor.
I wanted things.
See, you're here and you're with the children and you're on the floor, so you know what works and what won't work.
Yeah.
So you should have an input.
Yeah, and that comes from your experience,
absolutely,
your life experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I suppose, when you're a chef, you know what you want in your kitchen to make it work. And it's the same thing here.
Same
thing. I knew what we needed to make it work.
And they listen.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Like, there was obviously a lot of things on the wish list that I didn't get, but
I
got my way in a lot of things.
And did you have to shut down while all the renovations
were
going on?
We actually relocated to the house next door, which is part of the cooperative. It just became empty. And for a year or two, we used it as additional storage or as an office and a parents' room.
Okay.
And then we actually moved into it for seven, 8 months while the building was going on. And that was a quite a challenge because it's a small house. And we were lucky because it was kind of summertime, so we were able to bring the kids out onto the green and go for walks. And we used the local playground a good bit.
Yes, up in Griffey,
and the local library, and you know,
so you just thinked outside the box and found other ways to
but there was days now that we were quite claustrophobic because it's a two bedroom cottage.
But
we had only 18 children, you know, wasn't as big as it is now.
And you say only 18 children. I know, but 18 children
because, you know, one room was actually the office and the staff room, and then the other two rooms were for the children. Okay. And it was very small and compact, but it was good.
And you did it, and look what you have, the results.
But it saved us. Yeah. We didn't have to rent a place. It was cost-wise good.
And we didn't have
to relocate for the parents.
Which is the most important thing, because you're always afraid that you're going to lose family.
And it was also great because we were here practically on site while the building was going on, so I was able to tell them where I wanted switches and where I didn't want them. And that's really
important, because you really do have to be on site, because when change is made, you're there and you make
a decision.
There were
certain little things that we could change that weren't probably in the plans, that you could change without it being an issue. Do you know what I mean?
And it would have made a big difference. Yeah, and you can only see that when it's physically being made and it's been built and it's in the moment.
That is exactly
moment. And so, so how many staff do you have now here?
At that time we had probably three or four staff. But anyway, we were up to eight staff, but I lost two staff. We built our extension in 2009, but funding has really been cut since that. Since the ECCE came in, we were getting, you know, a lot more for CCS child than we would for ECCE. So our funding was really slashed, and it didn't really impact until maybe the second or third year. So I lost a full member of staff, and then 2 years ago I lost another member of staff.
And that's purely down to funding.
Yeah,
that's just funding. So two staff are gone down.
We just don't have money to pay somebody else.
And you just have to manage then.
Well, our ratios are good. We are a quality service, and we try and keep our ratios 1-7, and I have managed to do that. But I would, ideally, sometimes I'm on the floor. And I shouldn't be on the floor because I'm very busy in what I do myself. And it's not fair, you know, because if I'm on the floor and the phone's ringing, I can't get it. It's not professional, not to be answering the door or the phone and stuff like that. And tending to parents. Parents need you every day.
Absolutely.
But I can't stand and talk to them and support them if I'm working with the children.
And you can be distracted, because if you're in the room and you need to be there, you need to be there in your mind and your body for the children. You need to be listening.
Yeah.
Where if you're like half of you is management and half of you is like a teacher, you are distracted, you know, so it's very hard. So, and what's the biggest challenge you find with staff now?
Well, the challenge with that part of it is that I'm kind of limited to how many children I can take in my afternoon session, because I've only two staff. So if I want to get to go over, say, 12 children, I have to look into getting another staff member. But I wouldn't get another staff member unless I had 10 or 11 more children. And I'm kind of stuck in limbo.
Yeah.
You know, if I had the other staff member, I'd be more inclined to go out and pull in more children, you know.
So your service then could...
So then I'm not getting as much money in, obviously, in fees and that.
And then the more children you have, obviously you're getting busier. You're like doubling your workload because you're doing what you're doing in the morning, because you're full services and your full ratio in the morning time. And then the afternoon, it's... And do you find it hard to get staff or to retain staff?
Don't find it hard to retain staff. Our newest member of staff is here 9 years. She's the new girl.
That's great. You know what? That's
so
great.
So I'm very lucky. We're all here a long time. Yeah.
That you must work well together.
Yeah, we actually do work very well together. We get on very well. And we do a lot of kind of team building stuff.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think that's down to?
Yeah, we're going out now. Angie's leaving and we're going out for a night. And we go out for a night, or we go to dinner, or we go to cinema, or have a day out. We do a kind of a team building day every year. You know, like last year we went to some adventure place in town and it ended up in Temple Bar or whatever, but it's a great day out.
It is.
And there's no kids pulling out you, no parents wanting you.
And you get to know each other as people, not as just colleagues in a room. And it's an unwinding. Yeah. It's really important, isn't it?
Oh, no, it is. And you can see the benefits of it because it bonds people together.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger respect in the room and they're more inclined to be flexible with each other and help each other because they want favour back as well.
And also you're supporting each other. So, and sometimes you can just come in and go to work and put your head down and do it. But I don't think you can do that with children, really.
Oh, no, you have to be on high alert all the time.
And then even you have to have a rapport with the person that's in the room with you. Yeah. It has to work, doesn't
it? Oh, absolutely. If relationships aren't good with the adults, you can't really start building relationships with the children.
No.
It's probably like a marriage, you know, if mommy and daddy aren't happy, the kids aren't happy.
Like, and it's exactly like that. It's a great thing to say that you have staff for 9 years. Like, it's...
Yeah, so she's very proud of being the new girl.
Yeah, I'd say she is for 9 years. God, she's doing well, isn't she? Oh, that's great. And where would you see now? You were saying that you took placement students in.
Yeah, we train students from DCU and ITB in Blanche. And we've had them probably for the last 4 or 5, 6 years. But it's great additional support in the room. Yeah. It lowers the ratios for us as well.
Yeah.
And we also have two staff. Do you know TUAS?
No, what's that?
It's kind of like CE.
Oh, right.
It's people in the inner city of social welfare that are trying to go back into the workforce. So they're going on these programmes. So they come to us for a year to learn how to go out to work again and hopefully get an interest in childcare. A good few have actually gone on to train and do childcare since they were here.
It's a good initiative, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And is that like from, do they have to apply to you or do you have to apply for that? How do you get them on board?
I just know the coordinator and he gets me the girls. So
that's great, isn't it?
Like my housekeepers too. Like I wouldn't be able to afford a housekeeper. But we have this girl that's on the scheme from TUAS and she comes in and the place is spotless, like she's great.
Yeah. And then she's getting practical experience.
Yeah, and she's loving it and she's working with girls and she's having the crack and she's coming out on her night out. And
so it's all about like social
interaction. So she wants to work now. She doesn't want to be at home anymore. She wants to work.
It's an incentive for her to move. And then she's seen obviously in a very good environment that she's, you know, you're instilling a good social skills amongst your staff. So it's very commendable to you know.
She was even asking me today, can she come in another day? She's not supposed to be in tomorrow, but she wants to come in tomorrow because there's some art thing on with the children. That's how much she likes working now.
But that's great because it's an incentive to her. So it's really encouraging her as well. So And for students coming in from college, do you feel that because they're obviously theory based and they're learning, you know, first before they have practical skills. And obviously, if you started like you knocked up to somebody's house at a child creche and now you were working in it and you're kind of ground based, so you came from the ground and you worked your way up. Do you think students that are learning, you know, college school class based and then coming to practice, do you think that's better learning in that way?
I don't know. I've been very lucky with students, I have to say. I've had excellent students. I'd say out of all the students, maybe one or two that wasn't that interested. But like I have a student here and she's brilliant at the moment.
That's great.
And she, you know, she's just great. Like, so somebody like her, you'd say it works for, but there's a lot of people that would be doing Level 8 that wouldn't have the life experience. Like, you know, we've kind of had that life experience. We've started from ground, as you say, like, you know, and you'd have all that practical experience and confidence to deal with situations. You'd see them kind of sitting back, I suppose they're afraid to even manage conflict or little things like that because they think it's not their job to do it.
Yes.
You know, it's little small things.
And do you think that the practical experience is more beneficial to the students? Do you think they should have a longer practical experience or do you think like...
I think...
is it working? Is the practical experience...
I don't know. When
getting,
I was training as a chef, I went to college to one or two days and worked the other days. So you're doing like a... What did they call it? Anyway, it was in your working week. You went on your day off basically to college. But so I was getting practical experience for 4 or 5 days and then I was getting training for 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's how I qualified.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have known how to make a sauce if I was just doing it from a book.
No.
In theory, I need to be doing it in practice. Like.
And I think, childcare should be really like
it
that.
It is a bit
and
like that.
Yeah, because I think you only learn when you're doing.
Yeah. And some of them girls coming in would have never even changed a child's nappy. They wouldn't have a clue because they're, you know, there's no young kids in their house. There's no babies in their family, like, so, you know, and you can see that they're nervous because it's
daunting.
Whereas we're mothers. We came from being mothers and we all kind of fell into the childcare through our own children being young and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we had all that experience coming in, like.
And I kind of, like, for myself in my own service, I would take it for granted of the natural, you know, the experience that you've had that you've acquired over years and in your life experience. And when the young girls are coming in, they're starting college at 18.
Yeah.
So they don't have that life experience first. You know. So when you come in, you're kind of, assuming it's going to naturally come to them, where they really do have to be nurtured, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
every step of the way.
Even the simple thing like sweeping the floor. They actually don't know how to sweep a floor because they never had to do it at home and then they went to college. You know the way you yeah. were brought up to do your little chores.
Absolutely,
that doesn't happen
yeah.
anymore.
No,
like,
yeah, yeah. With the new students. So how can we, so going forward with the early years education, and what would you hope for this sector? What would your hope be for this sector?
Well, obviously I'd love it to be... For staff to be paid fairly. I think the salary is very, very, very insulting, really. Yeah. I'll just give you an example, and I don't want to be moaning about
no,
it.
No.
You yeah. know, we're
on the same
as,
boat.
As
yeah.
somebody said, who asked you to stay? I'm
yeah.
still here.
Yeah.
But my salary hasn't changed. I'm a manager since 2005, and my salary is exactly the same as it was in 2005. So, like, it's very disheartening. So I'm not going to, I'm 57, so I'm not going to do a degree because I'd be 61, 62 probably when okay. I'd have it done. And I hope to retire at 65. So, like, where am I going to get that money back even?
Yeah.
And where am I going yeah. to get the money in the first place to pay for it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that people like us, our generation, definitely should be funded for any training. It should be, whether it's from your organisation or from the government, they should be paying for us to do a degree if yeah. they want us to have a level 8. But, you know, that's I'd love to have a degree. I'd love to have, we're always doing professional training here.
Yeah.
Ever, you know, I'd say, like, even yesterday I just did bereavement training. We're always doing something, little, you know, yeah. workshops and that,
yeah.
Professional development. But it's not that we don't want to do it, but it's just, like, I won't get any more money in my salary. I don't have a pension from work anyway. And I'm going to be like only working probably two or three years with a degree. So where's the benefits of it? I'll never yeah. get me 12 grand back.
No, you won't. Yeah. And also what use are you going to put that degree? Where, you know, you're saying that you hopefully would be able to retire at 65 and you do your degree and it takes 4 years. So you're wondering, it makes you think about the young girls coming into the sector.
Well, I actually encourage my girls, and I know it's wrong probably, but I encourage them, get your degree and go on into teaching. Go somewhere where you're going to get paid fairly. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I've spent money on my daughter having her degree. I don't want her to be earning the minimum wage. I want her to be able, hopefully, to move out and be self-sufficient and all that. But you couldn't do that in childcare salary. You just couldn't. You're being paid minimum rate. So you'll never get a mortgage, you know. You'll never. When people hear you're in childcare, they wouldn't even go near you for a mortgage, like.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
it's not a good job for the future.
Yeah.
I'd be encouraging her to go on, and, you know, my niece has just done her level 8 in childcare, and yes, and Ali, she got a first class honours degree because she has loads of experience. She's 32 or 33, you know, so she's been doing her degree over, you know, she did it in her adult years more than her.
Yeah, and she had the practical experience.
Yeah, she had loads of practical experience.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant. She's such a natural with kids. And I sent her, go into teaching, Ali. Don't stay here
because
I can't see it changing, like, probably in the next 10 years.
And I think that's the problem, isn't
yeah.
it? It really is that if it was more professionalised.
That's it.
If it was more respected, and that you could have that 18-year-old that's going in, doing her degree, that, you know, well, when she comes out, she has hope.
Yeah, she'll be able to move out with her boyfriend or whatever to do now. Sure, no one can do that now. You know, you couldn't afford it.
Yeah. There's no incentive.
No, it's fine for me because I have a husband with a salary, and the girls are all the same here, and our children are kind of reared.
Mm.
You know, it is fine for us, but somebody else coming in that needs a good salary, you won't get it in childcare.
Well, you're kind of thinking, well, what's going to happen when we all retire?
Yeah.
And that's all going to come up in, it'll be like the grandfather licence. That's all going to come up in the next 10 years. And it's not allowed anymore because the minimum level 5 to work
yeah.
in a placement. So what's going to happen to the sector when we're all gone and retired?
I don't know, but I know that any of my staff could go down to Marks and Spencer's and probably earn more per hour, and they wouldn't have to do their level 5 and level 6 and first aid and manual handling and all
and
the other
continuous
yeah but all the demands
and,
that's
yeah.
on childcare workers. They wouldn't have to do all that, like.
Yeah, so we need change.
I think that, yeah.
How do we get there, Esther?
Well, I think we're paving the way very well. Like, there's a lot of work being put into the sector, isn't there?
And there is, actually. You
yeah,
know what?
I think that minister is very good.
Simone.
Simone, yeah.
Capone. Capone.
Simone Capone.
Simone Capone. Yeah. Yeah, no, she is. And I think it is. And you can see the changes.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the grants going in and the money is coming in every year, for even it's small, but it's little steps, I think.
Yeah.
And I think we have
even for example, I think this is a serious point as well. My niece has Level 8 and three of her colleagues did Level 8 together, right? She works in the community place like here. So the community place, the centre, is going to get higher capitation for three staff, but the staff don't get a penny extra.
Oh, so the service gets it.
The service gets it. But that's what happens. The service gets it from the funding. You know, the funding is increased because it's higher capitation. But Ali's salary won't increase, or the other two girls. And it's the same with the Links programme. You know the Links programme? Like I'm the Links coordinator for here. And I did that. So because I have this qualification, we get €2 per child on the ECC.
Additional, yes.
But I don't get it, not in my purse, but I'm the one who did the study for it. You know, there's no kind of incentive like that.
And did you the link outside your own hours, obviously, working hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did it for St Finian's. But I can, if I move to you, I have that qualification. So I'm worth money to you, but it's not worth money to me.
Your wages are not reflecting that.
Yeah, well, it didn't change me. Your salary didn't change.
So that needs to change.
Yeah, I think
like, that's
that.
A good point, because if you're getting higher capitation, and the person that's doing the higher capitation, there has to be a reward in some form.
But there's no money. You know, the service actually needs the higher capitation to survive. So they haven't got the money to give the Level 8 student the extra and whatever it is percent.
And do you know what I think? We should start talking about what people are actually being paid. I think it should be out there. Like, you know, I know people don't like talking about it, but I think it's important that people realise that you have young girls being paid £9.50.
Yeah.
Yeah. And working a full...
There's a little bit more here, like it's 11 something, but it's still little, like...
Yeah.
I just know that the managers in the housing are on double our salary and they're managing a centre like I'm managing this centre. We're in the same organisation, but I'm on half their salary.
And is that because it's childcare?
Yeah, because it's childcare. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and they think they're badly paid.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And there's the answer. Yeah. We're childcare.
Yeah.
So we need to do something about it.
But on a positive note, like, you know, you come into the room and you kneel down and the kids come over and hug you. And this is why you're doing this. It's a vocation.
It is
really
a vocation.
Is.
Yeah. And it has to be. It has to
and
be
And it has
you,
loads
Esther.
Of, you know, it has loads of rewards like that. Like, we're not here because, you know, to moan at it. We're here because we love it and we love kids. Like, that's why we're doing
and
it.
And I think it's testament to you that you have the... youngest or the
newest
member of staff is 9 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's a good thing, and we don't know if we're stuck in a rut or we're just very happy.
I know. I think you're very happy.
In this type of job, it's like every year is like a new job because you have new children and new parents.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new sheet every year. So.
And I think that's what keeps us going.
Well,
I think it's new challenges.
I
think it is. And I think when you open your door in September and those children come in, it's like a fresh breath there and the wind blowing in your face at the same time.
Yeah. No, it is though, isn't
it?
Isn't
it?
But there's always a different challenge with a different family, depending on, you know, because we would support the families and that. And every year there's a different need. Do you know what I mean? A different challenge.
And a huge part of the community.
Yeah.
Like I can see it here that you're a huge part of the instant local community that you're here. And the children, you're in the community. You're in the heart of the community.
And the local children all came here. They're all grown up now. And actually, one is coming back with her child. So it's time for us to retire.
Oh, Esther.
Yeah, I know. It makes me feel old. I know we still look young, but that's how
you
long.
You look fabulous.
Well, the years don't go. You know, the years go by just so quickly.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And so faster.
And
faster nowadays.
She is a young mum. But don't bring your child in here.
Don't want to see it.
But she loves it because she comes back and her photograph's still up on the wall. So can you imagine her sense of belonging here and she knows how much her child will be.
You know, and
and it's in her locality, it's on her
and
doorstep.
That's important. It's really important. Like they're saying, people's identity and belonging. And if you belong to a community, it's just, there's nothing else better than that.
Yeah,
and you
absolutely.
Feel you belong in there. Okay, Esther, thanks a million for taking part. And thank you again for giving up your time and being very honest with your opinions. And I'm sure I'll see you soon. And that was Esther Keenan from Cooperative Childcare in St. Finian's in Lucan. You have been listening to Sweet Pea Podcast, The Early Years with Loretta McDonough. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And do share the podcast with friends, colleagues or students who may be interested. And please rate and review us on iTunes. If you've got something you'd love us to cover, drop us an email at sppodcasttheearlyears@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter or check our webpage at sweetpeapodcast.ie. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, be kind to yourself and take care.